Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Second quarter advanced GDP figures came out earlier this morning, and it was a little worse than what some economists were expecting. A 12.6% year-on-year contraction in gross domestic product, and quarter-on-quarter, it indicated a 41.2% shrinkage, that is, in Singapore's economy that officially puts us in a recession. Today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Barnabas Gan, who's an economist at UOB. And he's here to share with us his insights on what these figures will mean for Singapore. Mr. Gan, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to join us today. I hope you and your family are in good health, and welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me, John.
First off, I did take note that your projections for advanced GDP figures in the second quarter were at 10.5% contraction. These numbers came out a little worse than what you were expecting. Were you surprised by the additional negative downside in the economy? And what were your impressions of the initial print?
Well, the full year forecast that we are looking at for Singapore is at -4%. And what we have been saying and well telegraphed in our reports is that the contraction of 4% for the full year in 2020 has downside risk. You know, so translating into the quarterly numbers that we have seen this morning, it's of no surprise that the quarterly numbers have slightly disappointed the analyst estimates at 10 point, and the negative of 10.5%. You know, so it's just slightly worse than expected. It's as of this morning, it was -12.6% compared to a -10.5. You know, but what is important to note really is the fact that the general expectation for a technical recession is on the cards right now, given the two consecutive quarters of Q on Q contraction that we're seeing in the first half of 2020.
In the note that UOB released before the advanced GDP figures came out, that don't expect things to get worse, that perhaps a bottoming out for the economy. But there's still a lot of uncertainty out there. How bumpy is the road back to pre-COVID-19 levels for Singapore? And how long do you think we'll be stuck?
How long are we going to be stuck in this uncertainty? Of this uncertainty really depends on how long the pandemic is, you know. So that is for the virus experts to answer. But I think in a nutshell, there is still a high degree of uncertainty over Singapore's economic prospects. I think what is crucial to note really is the fact that the nature of the pandemic is fluid, and it could be more severe and protracted than previously anticipated. And the exacerbation of COVID-19 pandemic globally, if that comes to pass, would likely prove to be detrimental, not only for Singapore, but for Asia and as for the rest of the world. As to how bumpy it is, we do see three key factors that could actually contribute to somewhat of a gradual recovery in Singapore's economic performance. You know, earlier in the conversation, I did mention that we are looking for a -4% print for the full year growth, and with the second quarter at -12.6%, you know, it does suggest that this would likely be the trough when it comes to how growth numbers could actually deteriorate going forward. And what we do see is more like a U to a V-shaped recovery, henceforth, really bearing an unexpected rapid rise in COVID-19 cases in Singapore, as well as for the rest of the world. You know, the island city-states should see a gradual rise in growth on the back of more business-friendly phase 2 and subsequently phase 3 measures, should it be implemented by the end of this year. I think the second point really is that the opening up of tourism-related attractions from the 1st of July, as well as the Singapore Tourism Board allowing a total of 18 hotels to allow staycations, would likely be one of the first but sure steps in trying to promote a recovery in tourism-related sectors, such as food and beverages, hotel and hospitalities, transport and entertainment. And I think last but not least, and this is something that we have been saying for a period of time now, we are looking for the pharmaceutical production and exports to overall support Singapore's overall manufacturing and trade environment. What we did see is that the production of pharmaceuticals has expanded for five straight months now into May, you know, and this basically means that it's the best performing cluster year to date, you know, and it's not surprising that, because given the COVID-19 pandemic, as we've seen right now, you know, it's of no surprise that there's an increased demand for medical goods, and Singapore is very well positioned to provide that.
And I'm glad you brought that up, actually, Mr. Gan, because even before the pandemic, there were signs that manufacturing, though there was a little shaky in 2019, there were signs or encouraging signs that biomedical manufacturing pharmaceuticals actually were showing promising signs of growth, actually. Is this a sign of things to come, that perhaps manufacturing in Singapore might start to evolve in a way that this particular sector will take a more prominent role alongside some of the more traditional sectors, like, say, electronics manufacturing or whatnot?
Well, really, given the pandemic that is ongoing right now, what is important to actually observe is that the share of manufacturing when it comes to pharmaceutical exports and manufacturing has grown year to date for the first half of 2020. To answer your question as to whether this is going to be a trend ongoing whereby the biomedical industry takes up a more prominent role in the overall scheme of things, really is the assumption of whether a pandemic-led policymaking will be one of the key direction or key thrust of policymaking henceforth. You know, I think one school of thought really is the fact that what we did see really is that there have been a lot of virus outbreaks really for the last span of the last decade. You know, we have seen the SARS outbreak, we have seen MERS, and now we have seen the COVID-19. And really, I think the question is, will global authorities or more so policymakers start to treat this as a new normal? And I think the answer would likely be a yes, whereby if there is a more, if more concentration or more interest is being placed on trying to garner and improve the biomedical industries around the world, that would actually be one of the key factors that could support the biomedical industry, not only in Singapore per se, but for the rest of the world.
We're still speaking to Mr. Barnabas Gan, an economist at UOB, with regards to those advanced second quarter GDP numbers that showed Singapore's economy contracting by 12.6% year on year. Singapore is a very open economy and as such is still somewhat dependent on the state of the external and global economy and some of their trading partners that continue to face economic uncertainties, whether it be because of COVID-19 infections or these rising geopolitical tensions by some of the bigger economies and bigger countries in the world. Based on your assessments, what do you think might be the biggest external risk at this point that could threaten Singapore's attempts to try and recover from the recent COVID-19 crisis?
Well, I'll dare argue that a key concern or the key drag for the Singapore economy right now would still be on the COVID-19 infections. What we are seeing right now, and this is empirical, is the fact that there is still a rising COVID-19 infections globally. It has crossed 13 million cases as of yesterday, according to the WHO. These rising COVID-19 infections are a key concern, especially for Singapore pertaining to trade, investment, and manufacturing. One assumption that we would have to make really is that the success of Singapore's fight against COVID-19 does not rest on Singapore alone, but rather on the success of the fighting in the rest of the world as well, simply because that Singapore is actually a small and open economy, and we would have to open our economy to tourism, we would have to open our economy to trade, and this also means the intermingling, you know, of our personnel. Even though we could actually control the COVID-19 outbreak in our city-state, the rising cases, and I should just give some examples here, you know, like India or Indonesia, whereby its key trading partners are for many of our Asian economies, you know, this would be one of the key concerns that I would actually look at very closely as to how much drag the COVID-19 could have for the Singapore economy. I think the second drag really that I could actually mention really is the rising geopolitical as well as trade tensions that remain in the backdrop, even as the global authorities combat the rising COVID-19 infections. We do note that US-China relations still remain poor, even as authorities disagree on many issues regarding the, say, the COVID-19 situation, trade, and really most recently, the sweeping national security law imposed on Hong Kong. And Singapore being a small but open economy, the rising geopolitical and trade tensions, should it escalate into the second half, would prove to be detrimental, at least on the external front.
And very quickly, Mr. Gan, before we let you go, I wanted to get your comments or your insights on the recent general elections here in Singapore. Are you expecting any major economic shifts or significant changes to economic policy that could influence Singapore's economic trajectory in the coming years based on how the elections played out?
Well, I would comment on the economy, given the fact I'm an economist, you know, so. Really, from an economic standpoint, We do note that the newly elected government would likely still pay attention to promoting Singapore, especially on the trade and investment front, really because trade investments are the two key growth pillars for Singapore, not only right now, but at least especially in the post-COVID-19 environment, which will come eventually. You know, so the priority as well as the interest in policy making for the newly elected government would likely be concentrated on how Singapore could perform when it comes to trade, as well as attracting foreign investment into Singapore, especially in the post-COVID-19 environment.
Mr. Barnabas Gan, economist at UOB, thank you so much for spending some time with us today on Money FM 89.3 to talk about the recent advanced second quarter GDP figures that were released for Singapore. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued good health and safety during these times and a great rest of the day ahead. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you so much, John.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.